Next Thursday, a parade of marching penguins will officially reopen the popular Penguin and Puffin Coast exhibit at the St. Louis Zoo, which has been closed since September of 2013. Unlike Jerry Springer the Opera, this is not controversial, and it is super family-friendly. Michael Masek is the zoo's curator of birds and director of the Wild Care Center for Conservation in Peru. He joins us on the phone to talk about next week's grand reopening. Hi, Michael. Welcome to Cityscape.
Hi, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Penguins and Puffin Coast, that exhibit has been closed, or actually opened, I guess, about a decade ago before it closed. And we're going to talk. We're going to talk about why it closed in just a couple of minutes. But it was a pretty popular exhibit. Am I right?
Yeah, the Penguin and Puffin Coast opened in 2003, and through surveys of our guests that we do every year, we have found that it has always been the most popular exhibit at the St. Louis Zoo. Now, I will say the Sea Lion Sound that opened 2 years ago did kind of top us for that 1 year, but it definitely always rates in the top two most popular exhibits here at the zoo.
And why do you think that is? Is it just because they're sort of cute and adorable?
Well, I think that's part of it. Cute and adorable always helps, no doubt about it. I think, you know, certainly there's something very anthropomorphic about penguins, the fact that they stand upright. Of course, people often, you know, say they look like they're walking around in tuxedos, and we tend to appreciate the things that we're more familiar with. So I think for birds, that's one reason why they might be more popular. But I think also the exhibit has a lot to do with it. It was the first exhibit of its kind ever built where the guest actually enters the exhibit space with the animals. So it's very experiential. I mean, you could feel the cold, you see and you hear the animals, you see them. So it's really a great, fun, and very unique experience.
And what does the Puffin Coast refer to?
So the Penguin and Puffin Coast, the building has two exhibits within it. Actually, there's three exhibits. There's an outdoor penguin exhibit, because some people don't know, but there are a number of species of penguins that are found in temperate climates. So we have penguins outside. Then you come into the subantarctic habitat, which is our subantarctic penguins. And then you kind of cross the equator from the South Pole to the North Pole, and that's where we have our puffins. And we have two Pacific species of puffins, the tufted and horned. And when we opened the exhibit, that was, in fact, the first time the St. Louis Zoo ever in its history exhibited puffins. So they're both polar habitats, but one is the South Pole, one is the North Pole.
So puffin is a type of penguin.
No, puffin is a type of bird. It's actually more closely related to a seagull, but it evolved in a very similar kind of habitat. So we talk a lot about convergent evolution. So a lot of people think that. They look at them and they say, oh, they're like a small penguin. But in fact, they're not. They're more closely related to the gull. And as I said, they're from the northern hemisphere, where penguins are from the southern hemisphere. But they came from cold, wet places. And as a result, they've evolved to look somewhat similar.
Yeah.
Puffins do fly. Still, however. Penguins flew once, but many years ago, more than 60 million years ago.
Huh, that's interesting. Now, penguins come in all different sizes, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Anything from a fairy penguin or a little blue penguin, they're sometimes called, which is found in Australia, New Zealand, and you're talking about an animal that's probably only about 11 inches tall and might only weigh a few pounds, to an emperor penguin, which is a truly Antarctic species. They stand about 3.5 feet and probably push about 90 pounds.
And Michael, you made reference to this a second ago. I always picture penguins being in the Antarctic, but there are penguins that their habitat is almost tropical areas, correct?
That's right. Penguins are found as north as the Galapagos Islands, which, of course, the equator runs, that's part of Ecuador, islands off the coast of Ecuador. So the equator runs right through that area. So, from the South Pole all the way up to the equator. The species we work with in the wild is called a Humboldt penguin, and they're found on the desert coast of Chile and Peru.
It's interesting. You said they flew at one time, which is almost hard to believe when you look at them. And I was reading something that penguin actually translates, depends on what language you're looking at, but it translates into fat or fat goose.
That could be. I didn't know that. But the interesting thing about that is that they do not, in fact, have a lot of fat. Unlike a lot of other animals that we associate with cold water habitats, like, you know, walruses and seals and whales, they don't have a lot of blubber. In fact, they're very lean. They're all muscle. They're very strong. What they actually rely on to thermal regulate is the feathers. They have more feathers in a square inch than any bird on the planet.
Huh. You know, when I see images of them on television or whatever, I always see them in large groups, sort of like a herd. So do they have some, you know, what's their community like? Are they herding animals, I guess?
Well, they're colonial animals, yeah. So for birds, we often use the word colonial, and they live in rookeries when they breed. So yes, they're the more the merrier when it comes to penguins. So yeah, they're very social animals. That's really what makes sort of our lives as penguin managers in zoos really easy, because the more animals there are, the happier they are, and there generally are not many issues with aggression and things like that, because their territories are really as far as they can reach around them. So they have very small personal spaces, which is good. We have about 100 penguins at the Penguin and Puffin Coast, and about 40 puffins. Puffins are also a colonial species. So again, they're often found in very large groups.
So do they maintain sort of a family unit? I mean, do they mate and stay in a group?
Yeah, so for many, many years, we did, in fact, think that they did. So birds are, of all the animals within the animal kingdom, birds are the most monogamous, meaning that they tend to form monogamous relationships, at least during breeding season, and many species through their life. And that was what was thought of penguins for many, many years. But once we were able to use DNA to kind of look at parentage and things like that, and researchers have been doing this for probably the last 15 years, we have found that, in fact, they aren't as monogamous as we thought they are. Now, they will develop a relationship with their mate and stay with their mate for at least a breeding season. But even then, there's some philandering going on, and they might be visiting their neighbors, and so to speak.
So this may have more to do with the Jerry Springer Show than I think.
Yeah, you're right. The who's the daddy kind of shows. that might be appropriate. And we have found that even here at the zoo, we could have a very faithful pair in that they always stay together every year. They breed every year. But in fact, we have found that at least on one occasion, some of those chicks actually belonged to a neighbor, not part of that pair.
Oh, we'll just move right along then.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you work with them, Michael, every day. How much time do you actually spend with the penguins on a daily basis?
Well, I'm actually the curator of birds, so my job is probably more administrative. So I probably visit with all of the birds at some point during the course of the day. But the keepers work very intimately with the penguins. As I said, we have over 100 penguins at the Penguin Puffin Coast, about 35, 40 puffins, depending on the time of year. And they work very closely with them. So the keepers, and we usually have about 3 keepers that'll work on any given day there, they know all the animals very intimately. And of course, since it is the kind of habitat that you walk through and the keepers are in it with the animals, they know them very well, and they probably spend 75% of their working day in with the animals.
You know, they are wild animals, of course, and a lot of wild animals I don't really see as having a personality, but are they more like cats and dogs? Do they have personalities?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, all animals really do have personalities. If you talk to any keeper at the zoo, whether they work with primates or small mammals or antelopes, they'll all tell you that in time they've come to learn that they're all a little different, and they all truly have individual personalities, and that is very true of the penguins as well.
All right, the Penguin and Puffin Coast exhibit's going to reopen next Thursday. Now, it's been closed for about a year and a half, and there was a reason for that.
Yeah, we were right next door to us, just to the east. We're building our Polar Bear Point exhibit. So that is going to open later on this summer. But since the facility was so close to the exit of the Penguin Puffin Coast, we had to close the exit, and we didn't meet code. So we basically had to close the exhibit for 18 months. But we're at a point where we can open up again. And then later on this summer, we'll have polar bears back at the zoo.
Could you go into a little more detail about what the new exhibit is like? Because people can, I think, observe them underwater and in other circumstances. Explain the whole experience.
You're talking about the Polar Bear Point, or
no? The Penguin and Puffin Coast.
The penguins, yes. So the Penguin Puffin Coast. Yeah, there's a number of opportunities. So on the outside, we have our humble penguins, and we actually don't have underwater viewing right there, but guests can belly up right to glass, and the penguins will come right up to the glass. When you come inside, then the exhibit is at about 45 degrees. There are acrylic barriers between you and the animals, and rock work that kind of jets out into the public space, so the animals again can kind of swim right up to the acrylic, and the acrylic only comes to maybe about the chest of an average sized person, so they can swim right up to you. And there's rock work, as I said, that kind of also comes into the public space, and the penguins will climb on the rock work, and you could literally be a foot away from a penguin.
Now, penguins, I think naturally they feed underwater, don't they?
They do, yeah. They eat primarily, well, a variety of fish and squid. But, yeah, they rely on the ocean for their food.
So is that how you feed them there?
A little bit of both. We do feed, all of the fish we feed is frozen fish. We don't feed live fish, but some of it is broadcast in the pools so guests can see the animals feeding underwater. But we also feed them on trays, and we also hand feed them a vitamin-supplemented fish because in the course of freezing the fish, there are some important vitamins that are lost. So we do, they get a vitamin supplement every single day, so they will hand feed from the keepers a little bit, but then they self-feed from trays and also in the water.
What's the lifespan of a penguin?
Well, it's in the wild, it's probably about 15 to 20 years. In captivity, we have birds that live into their 30s, maybe 33, 34 years.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay,
yeah.
So it all reopens to the public next Thursday, and at 10:30 in the morning, you're having a very special parade, which you hope people will attend. What's going to happen?
Yeah, so we're going to bring some of our King and Gentoo penguins out in front of the habitat, and we'll let them kind of visit with guests for a little while. And then at 10:30, we'll open the doors, and us and the penguins will lead the parade into the exhibit, and the guests can follow behind us.
Well, Michael, what's your favorite thing about dealing with penguins?
You know, I think the thing I like the most about penguins is the fact that people, our guests, do appreciate them so much. You know, we have birds all around us, and we often don't see them. We take them for granted. And even in the birdhouse, I wouldn't say the birdhouse, per se, or the bird collection is the most popular with regards to our guests. We tend to appreciate the core. We tend to kind of, appreciate the kind of charismatic mega vertebrates, elephants, giraffes, et cetera. But people love penguins, and they are birds, and we tell stories about the fact that they're birds, and the fact that that people get so excited about penguins and they're birds, that's what really kind of gets me excited because, again, we have a bit of a challenge getting people excited about birds, and penguins are a great ambassador for all of them. And it's such a diverse group, by the way. You're talking about something from hummingbirds all the way to ostriches. Of course, penguins also are birds. Over 9,000 species of birds found in every continent on every habitat. So I just appreciate the fact that they're so well-liked.
The Penguin and Puffin Coast exhibit reopens at the St. Louis Zoo next Thursday. It all begins at 10:30 in the morning with a penguin parade. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the zoo's website, and you can find out more about it. It sounds great. I can't wait to see them again. Michael Masek is the curator of birds at the St. Louis Zoo, and we appreciate you so much for joining us today, and hope you have a great event next Thursday, Michael.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Have you ever seen a penguin come to tea? When you look at me, a penguin you will see. Penguins, attention! Penguins begin!
Right flipper!
Have you ever seen...
Coming up next on Cityscape, Jerry Springer, the opera. This is St. Louis Public Radio.
Thank you.